Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact. I'm Natalie Silverstein. Each week, I'll introduce you to young people who are making a difference in their communities through nonprofits, social entrepreneurship, volunteerism, and activism. I hope you'll be inspired by these conversations, which prove that every person, no matter their age, can help to create a kinder world. I'm thrilled to welcome you back to Season 5 of Simple Acts Big Impact. As this week marks back to school for students around the country, I have the perfect guest to kick us off, Alejandra from Miami, Florida, who created Literary Speaking, a mentorship and academic tutoring program for under-resourced students and adults in her community. Welcome back, everyone. I am so excited to introduce you to my new friend, Alejandra, who is going to tell us about this wonderful work she does with Literary Speaking. So tell us a little bit more about yourself, how old you are, where you go to school, what grade you're in, what town you live in, and all that good stuff. And then tell us everything about Literary Speaking. Start from the very beginning. Tell us all the details.
Yeah, of course. So, hi everyone. My name's Alejandra Perry. I was born and raised in Miami, Florida, and my family is from Nicaragua. So I'm currently 17 years old, and I'm a senior at Miami Coral Park Senior High School.
Amazing. And tell us about Literary Speaking. How long have you been doing it? What is it all about?
Right. So Literary Speaking is essentially a project that was started in 2024 that's expanded into much more than just a project, but more so a community for many of the students, mentees, and volunteers that we work with really all throughout the school year. So we essentially began as a sort of a tutoring program within my school, where we would essentially just match various volunteers, students who were interested in serving others, and then various ESOL, which in case you don't know, ESOL English are English language learners within our school population, as well as different first generation and low income students. So by pairing these volunteers with these students, they could receive academic help, and sort of that translates into mentorship. So a lot of them end up advising on how college applications work and how scholarships work and so on and so forth. Starting last year as well, we've also offered mentorship for science fair and for coding and 3D printing. So if you notice, it's not really just academic tutoring. It's sort of a gateway for different kind of mentorship activities, depending on what the student ultimately wants to learn and the ways that they want to enhance their skills, in addition to just learning English.
That's amazing. You know, it comes to mind here that the city of Miami, the state of Florida, provides some ESL services, right? They provide services to children across the spectrum of needs, right? And they educate a lot of people. My family is from Ukraine. I'm a first generation American. Ukrainian was spoken in my home. I have an aunt who was born in Ukraine. And when she came here as a child, she was educated here and became an ESL teacher itinerant, meaning she drove around to different schools and she had children who spoke lots of different languages and she taught them English. And that was her career for 60 years. So I'm curious, how is it that the city of Miami and the state of Florida is not providing these services? And how did you notice that gap and say to yourself, I'm going to step in here and I'm going to offer something better?
Yeah, of course. So while it is true that public schools, especially in our area, right, since we have so many people who come in not knowing English, it's pretty common to have ESL classes. There are even independent programs, right, that are within the area that may offer ESL classes. But the issue with that, typically with government-funded programs, and this can be said about a lot of, you know, state-supported programs in general, is the fact that they don't tend to, you know, cater to what specifically the student is trying to learn or achieve. It's more so generic, more so very basic. Of course, there are also a lot of private organizations that offer assistance, but that comes at a big, you know, financial investment. And a lot of these populations who don't know English, they come from lower income backgrounds. They don't have the financial means to be able to participate in these programs. And if they do find the financial means, then oftentimes it's taking away from other basic needs that they have that they need that money for. As you can see, there are a lot of different directions, but they're not really suitable for this particular demographic, low income, not knowing English. So I wanted to not only tailor a curriculum that serves their purposes, that can be flexible specifically for what the individual wants to learn, but can also be accessible. So that's why we make it in person. So for people who cannot, who do not have the technology to connect online, or maybe it's just better for them to connect in person, or vice versa, people who have extremely dense schedules cannot be able to participate in person, but they have their phone, they have a laptop, they have whatever source of technology to participate online based on their schedule and availability. And we can match them with a volunteer who also matches their schedule.
That's amazing. First of all, that you saw this gap and that you stepped in. And I want to talk a little bit more about that in a minute and how that worked out with your administration of your school. But tell me a little bit more about your students, how old they are, range of ages or grades, where, how you recruit them, and also your volunteers, how many you have and how do you recruit those folks?
Yeah, of course. So as of, I guess, 2024, 2026, in a span of 2 years, we've had nearly 400 students enrolled. And so the demographics of these students, they're mostly from ages 12 to 18 years old, right? Because that's grade 6 to grade 12. So that's within the public school system. A lot of those students are within that age range, within that those grades. We also have various adult learners who tend to be on the older side. So I would estimate about 30 years old to 60 years old. We don't collect the ages of our adult learners, but that's just a rough estimate. We have various participants in that range. For our volunteers, those are primarily, I guess, teenagers, so high school students, as well as many young adults who are college students. And we have over 100 volunteers that we've trained and who have participated as volunteers, either mentoring students online or tutoring and mentoring students in person.
Wow, that is an amazing accomplishment in just 2 short years. And I want to say how kind it is of you to extend this program to some adults in your community who are looking for this sort of tutoring and can't find it or can't afford it, or it doesn't work in their schedule, what's offered to them. For you to extend it, you could have just said, we're going to just do this for the school's kids, right? That would have been totally reasonable considering who your tutors are. But the fact that you've extended it to the community is just so beautiful and generous. So tell me a little bit more about how this all came to be when you went to your administration. And is it just in your school now, or how many schools are you participating in?
Yeah, of course. So it started out as my school, right? As a project I proposed to my administration. So what I essentially said, okay, we have a lot of ESOL students. A lot of them are my friends as well. So I've heard from them that they would benefit from one-on-one, something more tailored and personalized for what they're trying to achieve, whether it's gaining proficiency in English for a job or for academics or whatever else they want to do. And so administration said, great, you can do this. Go to the lunch tables. No, I don't, nobody's going to take us seriously if we're at the lunch tables. I need a room. Okay, fine, we'll give you a room. So I got this room with a bunch of boxes in it, kind of looked like a storage room. Okay, we'll manage. So,
closet, basically.
So we took out the boxes, mopped the floor, make everything kind of nice and clean. It looked decent. And so people started coming in, said, okay, we have this time slot. Come in volunteers, come in students. Let's match you guys up. Let's introduce you guys. Let's have you start working together. And so we only had, for a couple of weeks, we had only 3 students and 3 volunteers. And they just kept working together in each of their days that they agreed upon with each other. And then after a few months, we started to get more students. And then the new school year started. We were able to promote, I guess, expand a little more. So we were able to promote with flyers, spread the word a little better. And we had a bunch more students and a lot more volunteers who were gathered in this little room working together in their various sessions. And so I saw that we were sort of developing an infrastructure, right? We were sort of standardizing our curriculum, standardizing our methods for training volunteers, our methods for supervising, quality control. And so with this sort of pilot that we've kind of established into a functioning program within my school, I reached out to my local middle school and eventually another high school. And we've been able to implement our own classrooms there, where we're able to, have quality control and infrastructure and essentially have those same programs taking place in various hours, various times, days at those schools. We also mm-hmm. have the public library. Of course, the library doesn't have classrooms, so it's more so a one-on-one thing. But yeah, we essentially have four locations where we offer our services, where people can sign up and participate at.
Amazing. And can you tell us a little bit about, you have 2 years of experience now. Do you have any sort of success stories, any alumni from the program who've gone on to go to college or to, you know, enter a competition or anything like that, where you can say, yes, this work is really making a difference?
In our Science Fair mentorship program, you know, since we already have a lot of students who are ESOL low-income backgrounds, a lot of them don't really have formal, I guess, training or experience with competitions, for example, right? I mean, a lot of these schools really need more resources for the most essential academics. Competitions and a lot of these extracurricular activities tend to be out of range. So starting last year, when we launched our Science Fair Mentorship Program, I had various students who, it was just their first time making Science Fair projects or building their own research projects. And I'm so happy to say this, that two of our students were recognized for their incredible work by the South Florida Regional Science and Engineering Fair. They both received the top recognition, and they were both nominated for the national competition. And I'm so proud of them and really happy to say that we've been able to help get them in that direction.
Absolutely. And it just points out again that if people just have the sort of basic resources that they need and the support and the encouragement and the belief in themselves and someone else telling them that they believe in them, like, where could they go? And all of these young people who are kind of slipping through the cracks, who don't have someone like you tutoring them, mentoring them, giving them these tools, like it's so beautiful. And tell me a little bit more about your volunteers. You know, how do you recognize them? How do you recruit them? How do you get them to want to stay? I mean, everyone can get volunteer hours kind of easily, right? But this is really important and beautiful work. And for someone to say that they made this connection and really helped a young person to achieve their dreams and to get into college, like, what a wonderful way to spend their volunteer time.
So it sort of feels like night and day when we're trying to recruit students versus recruit volunteers, right? Because when students or any adult learner sees our flyer, they see free services, free programs, of course, gonna right. sign up.
Sure. Great.
Yeah, great. On the other hand, volunteers, right? Like you said, it's rather easy nowadays to earn community service hours for somewhat, you know, trivial, minimal activities. If you're volunteering to dedicate, what, maybe an hour to 10 hours per week tutoring or mentoring individuals and really giving high quality mentorship, then you really have to have the heart and you really have to have that sort of motivation to want to help others. Not everybody has that. So it's rather difficult to recruit people who are willing to give their all and offer high quality services and dedicate their time. So we do a lot of activities to incentivize young people to want to participate and want to volunteer. So one of them are seasonal activities or seasonal gatherings, where, you know, we use our funds to be able to purchase food, purchase goodies, organize sort of a party, a gathering where they can interact with our students and our volunteers. We sort of form this big gathering. It's very fun. We have a lot of activities where they can form this sense of community and feel, okay, I'm not just this volunteer. I'm part of this community. This is a lot of fun. I enjoy being a part of this. That's one thing. Another thing is also our annual recognition ceremony. So we have an annual recognition ceremony that we hold at the public library. It's a very nice venue. We have medals, we have certificates, we have food, we have a lot of souvenirs that we give away. So not only are they earning their community service hours on paper, they can actually be part of an event that they can remember, where they're being recognized with their prizes and for, you know, giving their all and being part of this community and program.
Right. I think you've really touched on something important that I think a lot of nonprofits don't even understand. And you already understand as a high school senior, which is so incredible about you and your intuitiveness, is that if you honor and celebrate and recognize the folks who give their time, they're going to want to continue to give their time. And they're going to tell other people about it. And it's, as you pointed out several times, you are creating a community, right? This isn't just a service. It's not transactional, right? You are making connections between people. I'm sure some of your tutors develop beautiful connections with their students and feel such pride in their accomplishments. Like, if you give people that level of pride in their work and sense that this is important and that they're part of something larger than themselves, they're going to want to keep coming back. Can you tell us a little bit more about where people can learn more, donate, get involved, perhaps follow you on social media, your website, all of that good stuff?
Absolutely. So you can essentially find everything on our website, www.literaryspeaking.com. So there we have, you know, our pages for signing up as a volunteer, signing up as a student or mentee. We have our online shop where you can purchase any of our items, pitch in a little bit. We have our donation page where you can support us in any way. Anything helps. We also have a podcast and a magazine as well. In our magazine, we share some of the stories that our volunteers have to share and sort of summarizing our events. We have lots of pictures in there if you want to check it out, see what we're up to. We also have our Overcoming Barriers podcast, where we share stories on individuals who have overcome barriers in their educational and professional journeys. You can also check out our Instagram. It's at Literary Speaking Inc., where you can also see all of our activities and everything that we have going on. It's very visual.
That's great. Thank you so much. Wow, you're doing so much. I love the magazine and the podcast. You know, storytelling is so important, right? That's what this podcast is all about. And I can't wait to check it all out. Alejandra, thank you so much for sharing this with us today.
Thanks for listening. If you are inspired by what you heard today and would like to support the creation of this podcast and the work of the changemaker I featured, please visit my website, simpleactsguide.com/podcast, to make a donation. And please follow, rate, and review the podcast to help us spread these positive messages.